We continue our story of our dented heroes of faith. We continue today with Moses. And this is Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. Now, let's first of all address that 800-pound gorilla that's standing right next to me. There are no Ellie Mae or Grannies in the whole Bible. And there are no Clampets in the Bible. Now, if what I just said is a non sequitur, I'm glad and forget it. The rest of you get your giggles out over the name Jethro and get it over with. In Exodus 18, we meet Jethro, the priest of Midian. This is Moses' father-in-law. This is his mentor, his friend. And Jethro has a lot to teach us about being the people of God, being in this together, and being the church. Exodus 18 is devoted to Moses and Jethro meeting and their relationship and how they live out their relationship. And this is an easy thing to miss in the Bible. If they ever decided to make a movie about Exodus, if they ever made a movie about it, get it? Never mind. This chapter would be easy to leave on the cutting room floor. The book of Exodus, we know, is pure spectacle. A mother's sacrifice, Pharaoh's family adopting a slave, murder, a burning bush, a walking stick come to life as a serpent, a river of blood, plagues, parting waters, sinking chariots, manna from heaven. And in chapter 17, the previous chapter, we have water from the rock and the victorious battle over the Amalekites, where Moses signals touchdown through the whole battle. Now we come to two guys sitting down over a cup of coffee at Denny's. And it's easy to go past this, but it's an incredible chapter in the Bible. Verse 1, Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law heard all that God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. So we fade in, Act 1, and we fade in on the weathered, kindly face of Jethro, and realize that this very experienced minister is as close to a father figure as Moses will ever have. And the first thing we heard about Jethro as a mentor, as a father figure, as a parent, he kept up on all that Moses had done. He knows Moses' story. He's been keeping up with it. We go to verse 5. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came into the wilderness where Moses was and camped at the mountain of God, bringing Moses' sons and wife to him. He sent word to Moses, "I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you and your wife and her two sons." The Moses family's been staying with Jethro, and they all then go out to Moses. Jethro takes the first step. Ceremoniously, Moses should be coming to him. But Jethro takes the first step. He goes to where the ministry is needed. This is Jesus' model. Jesus never sat back and waited for people to come to him. He always went to where the people are. He didn't wait for them to be where he wanted them to be or where they should be. But Jesus always goes out to them. And that's what Jethro does here. He goes out to meet Moses. Ministry is sometimes inconvenient for us. Ministry is sometimes about going out there. It's mostly about going out there. Ministry is sometimes about going out into a wilderness where it's scary and where we don't want to go. But Jethro goes out in verse 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, went out to meet him, and he bowed down and kissed him. Each asked after the other's welfare, and they went into the tent. A lot of times ministry, being together in this, is just simply asking, how are you? How are you doing today? And not as a way to get into a conversation, but really listen. After I wrote this earlier this week, every time I said, how are you, to somebody, I stopped myself from keeping going and to stop and listen for an answer. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardships that had beset them on the way and how the Lord had delivered them. Moses has to share his story. He starts sharing all his story. And Jethro let himself listen. How important is that? He doesn't interrupt him. He knows the story already. We've already been told that. But he lets himself listen. He doesn't finish Moses' sentences for him. He doesn't go, yeah, let me tell you about what happened to me. And he doesn't try to tell Moses' own story. He listens. Ministry is listening. Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the Egyptians. Jethro didn't wait for Moses to wind down so he could tell him about his flocks, his family, his ministry. He simply delighted with Moses for the news he had to share. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because he delivered the people from the Egyptians when they dwelt arrogantly with them." Moses never lectures Jethro about being a Midianite. Moses doesn't harangue Jethro or theologize and tell him how much better the Lord God is than any of those small g gods of Midian. Moses never pointedly asked the question of his father-in-law, "Have you been saved?" He simply tells God's story as he experienced God's story. And through the story, Jethro converts to belief in God Almighty, God Yahweh, the Lord God. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. After this sharing, after this storytelling, after this taking on the faith, they had to worship. They had to worship. They prayed and sang, "How great is our God and how great thou art," and enjoyed each other's company in the presence of God. The elders joined them. The community of faith came together to worship. And they shared an agape meal, a love meal together. And God is present in the breaking of the bread and sharing of the cup. And Act 1 fades out with the words, "They were in the presence of God." The next day, Moses sat as judge for the people while the people stood around him from morning until evening. Act 2, fade into Moses sitting on the judgment seat. He has the rising sun framing him. And then we pan back all the way back to an excited young family standing there waiting for Moses to judge, to minister with them and for them. And they're very excited. And then we start doing that pan thing that the camera does to show the time. And finally, we come to the same family, very tired looking. The setting sun framing them now, and they're just pooped. And we hear off camera the voice say, "Well, I'm sorry, folks, that's all we have time for today. Please come back again tomorrow." Verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said to him, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Jethro watches Moses with undivided attention from morning until evening. Engage in ministry. Jethro does not interrupt or confront or correct him in front of other people. He says, "Hey, let's go out for a cup of coffee." And he visits with Moses in private. Now, the last time we saw Moses and Jethro together, they were at the altar of God. Now we see them at the coffee bar, just reminding us where two or three are gathered in God's name, he is present with us. Jethro doesn't judge Moses, but tells him everything that he carefully watched. Moses, you're trying to do everything for everyone all the time. And he's obviously wearing himself out, and the people who wait on him, he's wearing them out. And Moses, he tells Moses, you must realize you are not the only one called to ministry. You are not the only one to call to use your gifts and talents to serve God. You're not the only one who sees what needs done and can do it. Moses needs to realize that there are a lot of other people willing to minister alongside with him. The elders are competent in most matters and might even be better at some of this than Moses is. And he might be doing the elders and the people of God a disservice by doing everything for them. Sometimes ministry is giving up. Sometimes the ministry is giving over to others. So Jethro invites Moses to reflect on his style of serving God. We call this reflection in prayer. Reflect. Take a minute, take today, take a week, take months. Pray over, what have you been called to do? What is it God has asked you to do? And who is it God has asked you to help in this? Lord, what do you want me and my fellow Christians to do today and in the near future? So in verses 15 and 16, Moses reflects and says to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God, when they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make known to them the statutes and instructions from God. Fair enough. I've said it myself. I've heard it said my whole ministerial life by pastors and by elders and by people who do women's ministry, men ministry, any kind of ministry. I've said it myself. How many times have I said this? And this is what Moses is saying. If I don't do it, no one will. We've all said it. If I don't get it done, it's not going to get done. And that's what Moses really believes here. Who else can do it? I was called at the burning bush. Not Aaron, not the elders, not you. I was called at the burning bush. And my job is to fulfill God's expectations for me and to fulfill the people's expectations of me. For the church, my job is to lead the church and to lead them personally. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is no good. You'll surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. And Jethro here is giving Moses a reality check. And this critique comes not because Jethro is dissing Moses, but this is what he's seen. He spent all day watching this. This is what his experience as a priest of Midian tells him. What you are doing is no good. You are wearing the people out. Now think about that. Our decisions, our ministries, what we do in life have ripple effects. As I perceive my ministry, as you perceive how you serve God, it goes out to other people, and it has ripple effects. And right now, Jethro is telling Moses, what you are doing has these bad ripple effects on the people, and you are wearing yourself out. The task is too heavy for you. This is one of the greatest revelations I had of this passage. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, right? We know that. God now speaks to Moses through his father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro says in verse 19, listen to me, and I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases before God. So Jethro is claiming he is speaking for God here, a prophetic role. And he's speaking with authority and experience. Now listen to me, he's saying. I might be new to this Yahweh thing. I get that. But I got a lot of hash marks on my sleeve. I want to give you advice, and I pray that you're going to listen to me. I'm not dissing you, but reminding you, God is with you. Remember your burning bush experience in your calling. Absolutely. But you don't have to do it by yourself. Teach them the statutes and instructions and make known to them the ways they are to go and the things they are to do. Study. Become expert in God's ways. And once you know the statutes and instructions, preach and teach, preach and teach. Help them to know God's ways. That's your calling. Live out your calling. And more so, don't just tell them how to live, but lead for yourself a godly, exemplary life. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. Don't try to live a perfect life. You can't do it. I can't do it. No one can do it. Moses couldn't do it, obviously. Only God in Christ is perfect. But we can try to live good lives, called lives, lives that are one with God, and we'll stumble and fall and crack, and that's why we have people like Jethro around us to help us stumble and get back to our feet, get over the stumble and get back on our feet. Tell them how to live out a life of God. Try your best to follow God. And you should also look for able men among the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate dishonest gain. Such men, set such men over as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them sit as judges for the people at all times. Let them bring every important case to you, but decide every minor case for themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. Delegate. Moses, delegate. Appoint people to minister with you. Just let them live out their calling. Hand them ministry. Make them leaders of small member churches. I love that. Thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Small member churches. And don't hover. Don't be a helicopter senior pastor. Let them do their thing. Let the elders carry their portion of the load. But when things get too big or too controversial or start nipping at each other or things are harried, step in, mentor, lead, make decisions. Take the heat in your kitchen. Let the buck stop with you. Jump in when you're needed. And if you do that, just jump in when you're needed, then you have more time to listen, more time to take, not rushing through. Quality time is ministry, not quantity of time. And if you do this, and so God commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will go to their home in peace. If you do this, it is better for you, it is better for the people of God, and it is your sacred duty to serve them. Do this in the shalom of God, the peace of God, rightness with God. Being right with God shall come upon you and the people, even when things start to get harried or controversial, we start nipping at each other. And so Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men from all Israel and appointed them as heads over the people, as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they judged the people at all times. Hard cases they brought to Moses, but any minor case they decided for themselves. Just think of what he did here. Moses listened to the voice of God through his father-in-law. This is Moses we're talking about. You know how hard it had to be for him to listen? I just parted the Red Sea. I just won the great battle over the Amalekites by raising my arms. This is Moses. Yet he had the humility to listen. He had the humility to know that others know God. So he could try Jethro's model. And Moses trusted and knew that the Lord spoke through another person, his father-in-law. And Moses let go. Now Moses has the perfect role model in letting go in Jethro. And we end our passage with verse 27. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went off to his own country. So our movie ends as we fade to black, as Jethro is walking down out into the sunset. Roll the credits. As the credits are rolling, Just like an Avengers movie, we have an Easter egg. Suddenly, we see Mount Sinai in the mist with thunder and lightning, and we start panning in, and we get closer and closer until we have a tight close-up on two stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. And so the story of the people of God move on at Mount Sinai. The story of the people of God in this sanctuary now move on as we move to the table. Jethro and Moses and the table teach us, live out for us, Pastor Michael Linvall's words that I opened with this morning. No faith journey is a solo. We become who we are in Christ in the company of those on the road with us, through the wisdom of those who pointed out the way when we were lost, and by the mercy of those who helped us to our feet when we stumble. Come, let us come to the table together.